Hi guys, it's Hannah Gelbart here and you're listening to What in the World from the BBC World Service. Social media is awash with people trying to sell you things and influence how you spend your money. I mean, you only have to scroll for a few seconds before you come across a targeted ad or a minor celebrity trying to sell you the latest must-haves, things like bags and bracelets, gym wear. But platforms like Instagram can also be a place where you can learn tips and tricks on how to save money. And that can help you resist that urge to shop around the clock. And some social media platforms now have communities of like-minded people, anti-splurgers, who come together to offer tips and tricks to save money and bond over their budgets, bargains, and best buys. This is a trend that is taking off in China right now on China's version of Instagram, Xiaohongshu. People there are seeking partners or buddies, they're known as Daze, who have similar interests, and they come together and share their tips on how to be thrifty. So in this episode, you're going to hear from people around the world who are doing this as we try to answer the question, can social media apps help you save money? And stay tuned to the end so you can hear some top tips on how to hold on to your cash. So let's hear from the BBC's Sylvia Chang in Hong Kong. Hi, Sylvia.
Hi.
Tell me a bit about Daze. How does it work? What does it mean?
In Chinese, Daze means partner. It's a popular trend for social connections. So there are different types of Daze for specific interests, like traveling, hiking, playing games, all kinds of activities.
Like a buddy, right? Like where you kind of buddy up with someone and then you can hold each other accountable.
Yeah, that's exactly the same.
And these groups that are focused on budgeting and on money saving, how do they work?
This is called saving Daze. So it means like teaming up with others to save money. Usually people find their saving partners on social media platforms. They form a group to support each other in reaching financial goals, such as saving a certain amount of money over a year.
We're talking about China's equivalent of Instagram, Xiaohongshu. Can you describe what the platform is and how it works?
Xiaohongshu, there is a check-in function where group members can record their daily or weekly expenses and savings. So you can see a list of people who have checked in and how frequent they have checked in. The group leader would monitor the progress of each members towards their goals. So if one of the members have met the goals, the other group members will celebrate the achievements. It's like a very cheering conversation style way.
It sounds like a supportive community.
Yeah, it is.
I think on Facebook, we do have something like that with check-ins and stuff, but I haven't seen it on Instagram here. So it does sound like this version is more advanced and it's kind of lending itself to building these communities and people sharing that information.
Yeah, I think that's also their strategy for marketing, because they have noticed that the trend that people are saving money, but how they're going to save money, they have found out the way to build up this kind of community so that people can share their daily lives and also to supervise each other to save money.
There's a trend of particularly young women joining these groups. Why is that?
I have observed that most members of the saving groups I have joined are women aged between 20 and 40. Typically, this age group have high spending needs for things like housing, cars, and raising children. However, due to the current slow economy, many struggle to afford these expenses and are looking to save money and spend more wisely. For example, I interviewed a 30-year-old primary school teacher. She used to shop online frequently for dresses and makeups, but she realized that she wasn't using these items after buying them. And with the support from her saving partners, she has reduced her online shopping and kind of embraced a more minimalist lifestyle. I think it indicates that people are changing their spending habits.
Saving money isn't just a hot topic in China. Lots of people around the world are thinking about it, partly because of the high costs of living. Here is Anita Nkonge, a BBC journalist in Kenya.
Young people in Kenya, for example, are struggling with high costs of goods for various reasons, one main one being a high cost of living due to inflation. And this, along with the fact that the Kenyan government has been and continues to heavily tax its citizens, has led to a high cost of goods. And of course, an issue when it comes to being able to afford things. So for example, just yesterday I was following a conversation on X where young Kenyans were talking about and complaining about the cost of deodorants and how it's gone up. Some of the solutions that came out of that discussion involved budgeting and how to save adequately. An interesting challenge that some young people have been taking up is called the 52-week savings challenge. So created roughly 10 years ago by Felista Wangari on Facebook, the challenge group now has 470,000 members. And essentially the goal is to start saving small and continue to save for 52 weeks. So for example, let's say you decide you want to save $500 by the end of the year. Week one, you start by saving $10. And then week two, it might be 12. Week three, you might increase it to 15. Week four, it might be 25. But the goal is to increase your savings every week for 52 weeks and then reach your goal. So that is one of the ways that young people are trying to combat high cost of goods by budgeting and saving and being smart with their money.
So, Sylvia, what are some of the tips that the people you've spoken to have learned about saving money?
One of them is to sell the secondhand products that you have already used in your daily life. They put the products on the website, which is focused on those secondhand products, and the people would buy from them. This is also one of the ways to earn some extra money. That's one of the tips that's shared from one saving partner.
How much money are people saving?
Well, it really depends on their target. So, for example, one of my interviewees, she would like to save about 20,000 Chinese yuan. That's about $3,000.
What's that as a kind of percentage of her income? Or
it's about one third of her income.
On the one hand, it sounds really great, like there's a community of like-minded people all working together, sharing tips, helping each other. But it's not all positive in those groups, is it?
Most of groups do not have very strict social controls. However, I do heard of a few groups that only allow people with similar salaries to join in, because this makes it easier for them to set up common goals. And the leaders in these groups are very serious. If any members fail to meet the goal, they may be removed from the group. It all depends on the rules of each group and what kind of leaders they have.
I'm guessing the fact that there are so many of these groups and that this is a growing trend says quite a lot about the economic situation in China right now.
The economy in China is recovering very slowly after COVID. And the unemployment rate is high, and China is also having a lot of problems of the reducing investment from foreign countries. And many people worry that they are going to lose their jobs in the future or suffer from salary cut. So they have prioritized save rather than spending because they are afraid that they would gain nothing from investment.
And if people are trying to save money in China, how could that impact the wider economy?
I think a high level of saving could cause a significant challenge for the Chinese government. Yearly, the country's central bank can stimulate the economy by cutting interest rates, which makes saving less attractive. However, if people continue to avoid spending and choose to save their money instead, this could reduce the bank's ability to impact the economy effectively.
Is China generally quite a money-saving place?
Yeah, China has already been one of the world's highest saving rates. I think most of people, they really like saving because one of the reasons is the inadequate social security system. The benefits and support from the government are limited, leading to high levels of saving among households. Even in large cities where household incomes are relatively high, such as Beijing and Shanghai, expenses related to housing, childcare, education, and retirement pensions are still the main drives for saving.
It's really interesting that social media is being used as a money-saving platform because, I don't know about you, but I get targeted ads all the time for things that are encouraging me to try and spend my money.
Yeah, I think on Chinese social media platforms, there are also those kind of trips for people to spend money. But I think right now in China, people are kind of changing their habits. And if a person is being tempted by those kind of tracks, she will share the information with the saving partners, and other partners would smartly identify those tricks and tell them to avoid those tricks. So it's also a way to reduce your impulse purchases. So it's kind of a trendy issue in China.
Yeah, it sounds really interesting how people are developing self-discipline through communities, working together to all save money. Sylvia, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you.
It can feel really good to go into a shop and buy something. But when you've got the world's biggest shopping center at your fingertips on the internet, that dopamine rush can feel even stronger. And it can create a cycle where your brain craves that feeling when you spend more and more and more. I already mentioned some of the ads I've been seeing in my socials, and the psychological effects of this and how it affects our spending is something that's being studied in detail. One US survey found that 49% of social media users said the platforms themselves led them to make an impulse purchase. And 64% of those buyers regretted those decisions. So money not well spent. And on those same platforms that are encouraging us to spend, as you've already heard, there are these growing communities of money savers. People like Ashley Lee, who you may know as Her Money Mastery on TikTok. She sent us her top tips.
Number one, track your spending. I know this sounds boring, but it is key. When you know where you like to spend your money, you can create a budget that is way easier to stick to and hit your goals. Number two, create a realistic budget. So once you know your spending habits from step one, you can create a budget that's easier to stick to by building those spending habits into your plan. You can eat out, you can still go shopping, you can have the things you like while still being able to hit your goals. You just have to plan for it. Number three, prioritize saving. So you need to figure out how much you can realistically save per month and send it to savings right when you're paid. Number four, meal plan carefully. This one has helped me personally a ton. You just have to plan your meals and ingredients in advance. Sit down and make a meal plan for the week and make a grocery list. Stick strictly to that grocery list and do not impulse spend when you're at the store. And you can also look around and find sales on the things that you need to lower your bill even more.
Thank you to Ashley for those tips. I want to know what you guys are doing to try and save your hard-earned cash. Please do get in touch. Our DMs are always open on Instagram, and you can send us a voice note on WhatsApp. All the details are in the show notes. That is it for today's episode. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Hannah Gelbart, and this has been What in the World from the BBC World Service. See you next time. Bye.